Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
Show the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, Valley sports fans. How is everybody doing today? Y'all awake? Not you guys. I'm talking to everybody out there in the listening audience. Right from the... how you doing, Vinny?
Good. How are you, Beck?
Great. From the
I was still pondering your question, if I'm awake or not.
Yeah. I guess
we'll find out.
Yeah, from the people are the worst category. Yesterday when I left, I said, you know what? This coffee cup of mine that I bring to and fro to work every day, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be smart rather than to, you know, schlep it back and forth?
That's what I do with my water bottle.
So I put this in the top shelf of the kitchen back there, and it's clearly not a work coffee mug. Coming this morning, it's not there. And I look in the sink, and there it is, in the sink.
What?
Somebody's been drinking from my cup.
Why would somebody drink from my coffee cup?
So this is a double whammy, because one, somebody took your cup and used it. And two, they didn't even put it in the dishwasher.
That's right.
Which might be the more egregious offense.
In the sink.
Yeah. Left it in the sink.
When these heathens that work in an office environment do that, when they put dirty dishes and cups in a sink, who are they expecting to take care of that?
All I know,
you're not at home.
Right. That's so true.
All I know is that
jerks.
They're lucky that there's COVID protocols, or I'd go around smelling everyone's breath and who who has smells like coffee and who did that.
Right.
Well, I'm drinking coffee, but
I want to know.
This cup.
Right.
I've had since I started working here. 10-year anniversary coming up next month. It's been in my cubby single day.
Dan,
I have cubby space if you want to rent it.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Can Dan use your cubby space?
Yeah. That might be a good idea. Fairly ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
People will take
anything.
Anything.
Is there a more adult word that we can use for cubby?
No.
That seems like something when you go to like...
Kindergarten,
you know, everybody put their jacket, put their backpack in their cubby.
But it's not a locker.
It's not a
locker. Would indicate
cabinet?
Something metal.
Mm-hmm.
You could put it in my cubinet. See what I did there?
My cubinet. I like that.
My storage
new stuff.
Space. I like cubby. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Cubby.
The cub. All right, it is a Wednesday. What shenanigans will be had today? Stick around and find out. Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Now we start the Splash today for September 22nd with news about Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals quarterback. A week ago today, we delivered the Splash news that he was not the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, that he had been bested by Matthew Stafford of the Rams in Week 2. Kyler Murray is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That handed out about 30 minutes ago by the NFL. Of course, Murray throwing for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran for another one in the Cardinals' thrilling victory over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Maybe a week late, but still deserved. He should have won one of the two.
Well, and that's the whole thing. That speaks to the beginning of this football team and the beginning of the season for Kyler Murray. When we spoke about this entering the season, this is exactly what needed to happen for the Cardinals to do what they're doing. Kyler Murray had to be at this kind of level out of the gate, and he's fulfilled that.
Fifth time he's won the award in his career.
Wow.
On the defensive side, Mike Edwards of Tampa Bay, who had 2 pick sixes in their win, against Atlanta on Sunday. He's the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Derrick Henry won the AFC Offensive Player of the Week award. Odafe Owe of Baltimore won the AFC Defensive Player of the Week award.
Yeah, Owe had himself a huge night.
Owe, Owe, Owe. Think I want to know you.
Owe, Owe.
What spells shenanigans more than...
Than Morris Day in the Time?
Yeah, some guy speaking Morris Day in the Time lyrics.
Nothing.
Cardinals back on the practice field today. They'll travel to Jacksonville to take on the 0-2 Jaguars on Sunday. We'll also get our first look at the team's Week 3 injury report later today. Speaking of injury reports, the one in Pittsburgh is growing vastly. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger of the Steelers now on the list. He's got a pec injury. He joins T.J. Watt, Joe Hayden, Deontay Johnson, Devin Bush, Mean Joe Green, L.C. Green. I mean, they're all on the injured list. They all suffered injuries in Sunday's loss to the Raiders. Steelers host Cincinnati on Sunday. We are just a day away from the beginning of Week 3 in the NFL. And fasten your seatbelts because we got ourselves a marquee matchup on Thursday Night Football.
This is
the Carolina Panthers, who, by the way, have been very good in weeks one and two. Their their defense has been spectacular.
Yeah.
They're taking on Davis Mills and the Houston Texans.
So much for the NFL's great run of primetime games.
Well, it could turn out to be a good game. This one doesn't have any allure before kickoff, I will say that. Mills, it's official. He will make the start in place of Tyrod Taylor, who is now on injured reserve.
I'll say this. Adam Gase looks even more like a terrible coach because Sam Darnold looks extremely competent so far this season.
So far. Once you get the a guy out of New York,
that
good things happen.
That is so Jets-like, isn't it?
But Mills already in Week 3 becoming the fourth rookie quarterback to start. I looked it up. There's only 10 quarterbacks drafted in the whole draft. 40% of them had already started, and Justin Fields is not far off. Could be half of the draft class will start by Week 3.
Wow.
Denver Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb having arthroscopic ankle surgery. He re-injured his ankle in Sunday's win over Jacksonville. Played only 19 snaps. He does hope to return to action this year. Kind of surprised a little bit. Denver off to the 2-0 start.
Yeah, no, that they're a really good roster, and it was just really about how much quarterback do they have.
And Teddy Bridgewater's been really good so far.
He's been good, yeah. He's been really, really good. And that's kind of what Teddy Bridgewater can do. He can be solid, and then when you expect him to be great, he can't do that. Mm-hmm. But he might be enough quarterback for the Broncos to actually make some noise this year.
Yeah,
that defense is that good.
That's a big loss, though. Again, losing Chubb.
Right.
It's never a good thing when a baseball team has three times as many errors as runs in a game, but that's exactly what the D-backs outfit looked like last night in a 6-1 loss to the Braves at Chase Field. Three errors in the game, Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies. Each had two-run home runs off starter Luke Weaver in the first three innings as Atlanta built a 4-0 lead, and then Jorge Soler hit a solo shot off Weaver in the fifth to add a little bit more icing on the cake. Braves have taken the first two games of the four-game series. Game three at Chase tonight, Merrill Kelly on the mound against Ian Anderson. The D-backs are so bad, opposing teams opposing teams are throwing out lead singers of Scottish rock bands against them. Crazy. 6:40 pregame. 6:40 first pitch. 6 o'clock pregame on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Ben Simmons reportedly won't attend Philadelphia 76ers training camp, and according to his camp, has no desire ever to play for the Sixers again.
Well, that's good because he has no desire to practice or get better either.
He had no desire to shoot the ball in the playoffs last year.
Who does he think he is?
Simmons regressed last season. Things came to a head in the second round of the playoffs against Atlanta. Very tentative offensively, and they lost in seven games. He shot only 45 times in seven games in that series. He also shot 45 times from the free throw line and made 33% of his free throws.
The Philly media is, by the way, I know you know this, has been just savaging Ben Simmons.
I saw a legitimate news station in Philadelphia where there was flooding going on, and the anchor, it was kind of a natural disaster, the amount of flooding in the east.
It was the flooding of that river in Philadelphia, and there was, a
garbage dumpster, and they said, oh, by the way, we have footage of Ben Simmons rapidly leaving Philadelphia, and they cut to this dumpster.
Right.
I was like, jeez.
Yeah. I said that yesterday. There's some sports towns, it's painful when they turn on you. It's bad when they turn on you in Philly. Maybe, I guess Ben Simmons, There's no going back now for him.
No.
Not in Philly.
No. They'll throw snowballs at him.
Yes.
The Arizona Coyotes report to training camp today. Among the players reporting will be Alex Galchenyuk, who's back in camp on a professional tryout contract with the team. He played 2018-2019 with the Coyotes, scoring 41 points in 72 games, but he was traded to Pittsburgh in the Phil Kessel deal, has floated around the league since. Preseason opener for the Coyotes Monday against the Kings. And the Mercury in action tonight in the WNBA playoffs. Single elimination game against the New York Liberty, who are the eighth seed. Mercury won 2 of 3 between the two teams this season. Tip-off 7 o'clock. If you're going to that game, don't go downtown. Go to GCU Arena. It's tomorrow?
Yes, but still go.
Also, don't go today.
Yeah, don't go today.
It is tomorrow at 7.
Who's this idiot on the radio? Wait, what day is today?
Yeah, today's Wednesday, Vinny.
I'm hitting
You're just spreading the word. That's all.
I wanted to give extra notice to people to change their plans to travel to the correct arena.
Clear your night.
Your intentions were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for having my back, Sarah.
I got you.
I look up and Sarah's mouthing through the glass. Tomorrow.
You idiot. Tomorrow.
All right, there's your splash for Wednesday. Warning, you'll hear that Mercury bit tomorrow, too. Coming up, Kyler Murray. Just racking up awards, doing it again. NFC Offensive Player of the Week will have reaction next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Three receivers left, shotgun snap. Back to throw, Murray in trouble, spins out of there to his left, being chased by two Vikings, and launches it deep, wide open, near side at the 40s, Rondale Moore caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kyler Murray, you are ridiculous, Murray magic, 77-yard touchdown pass, 99.9% of the quarterbacks on the planet get sacked, but not only does Kyler Murray not get sacked, he throws a touchdown.
Dave Pasch, play-by-play voice of the Arizona Cardinals, highlight play to Rondale Moore in the win over the Vikings. And that was part of the reason why Kyler Murray, his ridiculous nature, named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week this morning. Maybe a week late. It's weird. His numbers, obviously, I mean, you throw for 400 yards, it's eye-popping.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was better against Tennessee than he was against the Vikings. Am I wrong there?
No.
The two picks, putting ball in jeopardy a little bit. But, I mean, he deserved to win it one of those 2 weeks.
Right. But I think both performances were equal in terms of just powering this team with mm-hmm. with the plays that he makes that nobody else, stuff that nobody else can do. I think this is, it says a lot about him. There was so much, I won't call it concern, but there was so much speculation during the offseason about why is Kyler Murray in Texas? Why is he not engaging here? Now, there was a lot of stuff going on. The NFL Players Association, they were telling players to not go to all the, you know, voluntary stuff, all that kind of stuff. But there was a minute when I forget who it was, but somebody questioned, what is his commitment really like? And I remember thinking, what are we going to see from this guy? How into this is he really? He clearly is into it, and he clearly was ready to play football this season. Do you remember that? What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. All that speculation about him being in Texas?
Sure. I mean, it's trickled down in the last two off seasons. Last year was weird, but he did organize those team meetings in Texas last mm-hmm. year in the middle of the pandemic, which also raised some eyebrows. Look, just because he's not here, and I think, and maybe this is unfair to say, I think Kyler Murray, his off season regiment will be more locally based as he gets further in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a very young player. He's a single guy, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of football, how much of your life is in Arizona? You can't question his commitment, really, when you see the results and the improvement that's he's making.
That's it. That's exactly it. And it's clear that he has put the time in because he's even spoken about how he sees everything on the football field right now. So that's a credit to him. And he's playing at exactly the level the Cardinals needed him to play at to kind of get this season up and elevated right from the beginning. which was very important when you look at the schedule, when you look at the NFC West, all of this stuff. And I think it's also interesting, too, and Max Williams spoke about this a lot after the game on Sunday, that his leadership, Kyler Murray's brand of leadership, comes from making big plays on a football field. And it, because they are so spectacular in nature, it creates a lot of awe and reverence from his teammates. And Max spoke about that, about how on busted plays, he's got to remind himself to run and stay open and not watch this guy maneuver.
Yeah, here was Max Williams after the game, after he had a career day with 7 catches and 94 yards, and just how he thinks his quarterback's playing.
I mean, I think he's just playing so confident. I think even from camp, I think everyone's saying, if we want to be a great team, it starts with your quarterback. And the more K1 gets confidence, the more confidence we get behind him, the more leader he is. I mean, the sky's going to be the limit for that. I mean, look at K1. Look what he's doing right now. Just out there making plays, running around. It's fun. I mean, I don't know if you guys are enjoying watching it. I'm loving it. I'm on the field running around with him. I'm watching him in awe sometimes. Like, how do you just do that play? Like, Rondell's big catch down the sidelines, all that. I'm watching K1. Like, how is he getting out of this? And all of a sudden, the ball's running on the field, and we got 6 points on the board. So as long as K1 can just stay healthy and be this leader that we want him to be, the whole team rallies behind that, and it's great.
Well, you can hear that level of disbelief in the highlight that we played from Dave Pasch, where he just says, you are ridiculous.
Right.
Because you don't get, even as a broadcaster, you don't get that many opportunities regularly to describe a player like that. But that's how good Kyler Murray's playing right now.
That's a great point. And you know Dave Pasch, think about how many football games that man calls.
Mm-hmm.
So for a player to elicit that from a guy who is all over the country every week covering football on every level.
Look, we can go through the archives of 2018. Well, the archives of 2018 highlights for the Cardinals was probably about 4 highlights long, but I don't think he ever said, Josh Rosen, you are ridiculous.
Well, not in a positive way, at least.
This is the 5th time overall that Kyler Murray has won this award.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 4th time he's won it in the last 15 weeks.
Okay, so what is going to be fascinating to me to watch if he keeps up this level of play, and there's no reason to think he won't. The big question is going to be the back half of the season. Can this team sustain all this?
Well,
we'll get to those bridges down the road.
Absolutely, but you heard in that soundbite from Max Williams, as long as he stays healthy, that seems to be belief. We had it yesterday. You said, I want to see how tough Kyler Murray is. I said, I don't.
Yeah,
because you don't have to be tough if you're not nicked up.
But he's going to get nicked up on some level.
Sure.
You know, and it's, but it, you know what was amazing? The Vikings did later in that game on Sunday. You could see this happening. You could see the Vikings realizing we can't rush this guy all out because we're getting burned.
Mm-hmm.
I retweeted this because I thought it was such a great point from Luke Lipinski, and I wanted Jarrett to have to recognize his utter brilliance. He said that Kyler Murray scrambling on a football field was like having a cobra loose in your house. I thought, that's great.
Wow. If a cobra was loose in my house, I would be the one scrambling.
Right. That's right.
So then Luke retweeted it, and he said, I stand by this. And then I was going to say, yeah, I wish you would stand by a cobra. But then I thought, maybe that's even a little too far, me wishing imminent death on him. So that I didn't do that.
No, but I thought that was a good turn of phrase to just kind of illustrate how dangerous he is to other teams when he breaks containment. There was a time later in the game when the Vikings said, you know what, we can't do this anymore. And they started doing the mush rush. There was one time in a mush rush from the Vikings, Kyler Murray still got outside the mush rush. He darted in this way, the defensive lineman moved, and then he went back around on the outside. I'm like, he's still breaking containment.
Yeah.
And I think you've pointed this out. The step he's taking is that he's very elusive. He could still break containment. But when he breaks containment, he can then make a play with his arm and make it a huge play rather than just like getting 2 yards and running out of bounds.
That's exactly the difference.
And that goes to what he's saying right now. I see everything now.
Right.
That wasn't the case.
No.
What he saw in years past, and again, this is not a knock on him. It's kind of the normal progression and development of a quarterback. He saw the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the sideline.
Right.
And sometimes he went to the sideline behind the line of scrimmage, and it frustrated people that he wouldn't throw the ball away. But now the eyes downfield. How many quarterbacks don't see Rondale Moore sitting all by himself? I mean,
plenty.
But going back,
and that's such a huge deal because it blows apart a defense because a defensive coordinator is now getting screamed at by his head coach. Why? What are you doing? And the defensive coordinator is going, we're pressuring him. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. Well, then why are they scoring touchdowns? I don't know. And then the other sideline now is in complete chaos because they don't know what to do with this guy. That is a unbelievable asset to have.
Going
and
back,
the Cardinals have it right now.
The health issue, Shield Capadia of The Athletic wrote this as well. Takeaways from week two. His number two item, a healthy Kyler Murray might be all that matters for the Arizona Cardinals. He said Murray has put the Cardinals on his back through the first 2 weeks. He's completing 73.5% of his passes and averaging 10.1 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, including 2 rushing, and has made highlight play after highlight play. There's nothing defenses can really do about plays like the one where Murray is at one point literally facing the other end zone before escaping the pocket and finding DeAndre Hopkins for a touchdown. It might be that. Look, the Cardinals' depth will be tested. It's a grind. There's 15 games left. But if Kyler Murray is relatively unscathed and close to 100% health, we might see that ascension of a guy who can carry his team to good things.
And that's been the forecast, that this is, for all the flaws and all the weirdness that has kind of accompanied this football season in Arizona, that guy is good enough to cover for everybody.
Yep. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, D-backs lose again, number 103. Is it public accountability or is it public apathy that's happening in the Valley right now? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Wednesday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Diamondbacks lose again last night. 6-1 to the Atlanta Braves. They lost the opener 11-4. Outside of those two losses, there's 101 other losses to talk about.
Yeah.
Very much in jeopardy is the all-time franchise record for most losses in a season. That happened in 2004 when the Diamondbacks lost 111 games.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about the D-backs earlier today in our show meeting, and you raised a great question. How much, you know, a team this bad, and, you know, we've had front office members, Derek Hall, Mike Hazen, Amiel Sade, we'll have Mike Fitzgerald on today. They've talked about how disappointing and how poor this product has been. But you raise the question, do you believe that they're being held accountable for this level of ineptitude?
Yeah, listen, and I bring this up because the level of ineptitude from this baseball team the past two seasons has been staggering, all right? And I think from a media standpoint and from a fan standpoint, we know how we roll in Arizona. When teams get bad, people get gone. They don't stay involved with the team and display a ton of negativity and passion and demand answers and all that kind of stuff. I just know that over the course of the last couple of weeks, I have received stuff, emails, tweets regarding why are we not taking this owner to task? Ken Kendrick, who is the owner of this product and has been for pretty much 15 years now, 2004, 2005. Okay. And I thought to myself, this is a real fair question because this is what, you know, sports media does in big markets like Phoenix, Arizona. You hold teams accountable when they're really, really bad. And I wonder, are they getting a free pass? There was a time, and I mentioned this to Derek Hall last week. There was a time during the NBA Finals that Derek Hall came on the radio and he was sheepish to be disrupting the Suns discussion because at the time the Diamondbacks, I believe, had lost 17 games in a row. Okay? That was during NBA season. Now we're into football season and we have pivoted and we're all behind the Cardinals and now they're on the verge of setting the most losses in a season, the worst season on record for the Diamondbacks. And so you ask yourself, okay, who is responsible for this and what really is the plan going forward? And here's where I get mixed up on it. And because I really do believe Mike Hazen is good at his job. And I know that Mike Hazen is going through horrible things personally with his wife and the disease that she has. And I can only imagine how uprooted his life has been and how difficult it must be to do all of this. to do your job at that level. So there's that element of it. Then there's the Torrey Lovello element of it, which is also kind of odd. Mike Hazen told reporters yesterday that Torrey Lovello, the decision on his future, is going to be made hopefully by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want it lingering into the offseason, which is the least they can do for a guy who's been managing on a lame duck contract all year long. But do you not know what you're doing with him already? How can you not?
I mean, I've asked myself that question, too, and I read those quotes and those articles about Mike Hazen talking with the media about decisions that need to be made, and there's, you know, how many games left? They have 11 games left.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not have the decisions made? But I think when things are this dark and you're approaching such a dubious distinction in franchise history, you could break the record for most losses in a season by this franchise. I think there's at least an element. Maybe I'm wrong. I think there's an element to see how resolute the coaching staff can be and the message getting across to players down the stretch. How can they finish respectably? Maybe that's part of the equation. I don't know. I mean, the other side of it is 151 games is more than enough to make a decision on a guy's future.
Yeah.
And Torrey Lovello, we talked about it going into the season. He was put in a bad, bad spot by not having a contract after mm-hmm. this year.
Yeah.
It's very rare that managers who are going to stick around are in that scenario.
Exactly. Now, I look at this and I say, okay, what is to blame here? Is the owner putting enough resources into this product? This is, if you're going to look, because I'm all for the Diamondbacks finding a methodology for the future. And it's not like the Diamondbacks are alone here. The Houston Astros tanked for season after season after season to get good. The Cubs tanked. Tanking in baseball has become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the Diamondbacks finally had that moment where they looked at themselves in the mirror and said, we can't operate the way we've been operating. We can't be mid-market in terms of revenue and payroll and then go make big purchases when we think we're good and then we're not. What do? So if the idea is to find a real methodology going forward that is going to work, I guess we can be on board with that.
Well, here's where it gets dicey for this organization, is if you look at the history of the Diamondbacks organization, they've avoided the total rebuild basically outside of that 2014. But you're 3 years removed from a World Series championship,
right?
Which softened the blow.
Exactly.
But that philosophy of being middle of the road, putting together quality veteran rosters and then occasionally spending lavishly on that big shiny object, that's worked out for them for the most part in their history.
Yeah, so I guess you're right.
History repeats itself. And going back to the original point on accountability on the ownership, this is ugly in real time. There's no doubt about it. But again, you're 4 years removed from a season where you won 93 games. You made it to the playoffs. This has been the pattern for the Arizona Diamondbacks since they started as a franchise. Bad will turn to good relatively quickly, will turn to bad. It's been kind of a waveform.
Yeah, they'll go from first place to last place, then they'll jump up. Yeah, it's a weird thing to diagnose in terms of accountability. Yes, Jared, were you going to say something?
I was going to say that I think one of the reasons for that, they're good, they're bad, is they've, throughout their history, not really had a great farm system. So they weren't able to quickly restock as they maybe lost free agents or had to make trades. That's something hopefully that will be changing. It's just going to take a couple of years. And on the, are they doing enough to win? As recently as before last season, they went out and they signed Starling Marte, who's going to lead the majors in batting average this year, by the way,
yeah.
And Madison Bumgarner. And as recently as before last season, you were even saying Torrey Lovello and Mike Hazen are the best
combo.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how that switched?
Well, yes. And I think, though, that's what I wonder about. When I talk about finances, we know when the pandemic hit, the Diamondbacks, they just bailed on that plan. The Starling Marte, they bailed on all of that. And was that financial related? I almost get the idea. Do you know? You remember back in the day when Bill Bidwill owned the Cardinals and he didn't get the handshake deal he was promised for a new stadium,
mm-hmm.
and it created some resentment. I almost kind of sense the Diamondbacks feel that way about Chase Field. with all of the stuff that has gone on there, that it's been a money drain. It's been a source of litigation. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who's supposed to pay for basic, you know, capital improvement and repairs and that kind of stuff. I don't know. You saw the difference in Robert Sarver with the Suns when he got his new arena.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. It's, listen, I know my thoughts are all over the map with this because,
but that's caused by this team, the on-field product being so difficult to watch at this point.
Yeah, it is. You know what's also weird? Colin Cowherd, of all people, tweeted out how impressed he was that 15,000 people showed up to Chase Field last night for a last place team. There weren't 15,000 people there.
There was.
Vinny checked it out. He did the research.
I counted all of them.
He did. He hand counted all of them.
There was 8,800. And he said it's that kind of support is commendable. And I saw that tweet and I was like, wait a minute. Did they have 15,000? Because that's like a weekend crowd these days at Chase Field.
Yeah.
They had about 8,800. Which, for those 8,800 people, for whatever reason, good on you for going to the game.
To be fair, Colin Cowherd said roughly 15,000.
That's very rough.
That's rough.
Very rough.
That is very rough.
But I thought that was a little curious too. This has been maybe the worst 2 year stretch. All things considered, pandemic, roster construction, results on the field. This is probably the worst 2 year stretch in Diamondbacks history.
Right. I do hope that there's a serious plan. I hope that they're deeply embarrassed to be bookended, to be in the middle. To put this season out there in the middle of what the Suns did and what the Cardinals now are hoping to do. I hope that they feel that. Because they're not feeling it from fan base or really the media. Because it's just easy when a team is that bad, we just peace out.
Well, that's what I said, too.
Right?
I mean, when the fan base pieces out, it's not necessarily criticism, it's apathy.
And that's even worse.
It could be worse. You're right. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers had a great game on Monday Night Football. But he's not very happy with certain people. We'll tell you who and what he said about it next. Spickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Spickley and Marotta. Spickley and Marotta Mornings.
It's absolute horse to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life, I don't have communication with them, or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just, it's chicken, you know, it's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people.
It's two different types of animal excrement in that one soundbite from Aaron Rodgers, who appeared on the Pat McAfee Show. Talked about, you know, like Aaron Rodgers has been the most talked about player, I think, since the calendar flipped to 2021, Bick, because we had all the vague drama of the offseason about what he wanted, what he didn't want, who he was unhappy with, what he wanted to do in his future with Green Bay, his contract status, was he going to get traded to Denver, sabotaging the draft process, all of it. Then he comes out and plays basically, you know, top five worst football games of his career on opening day against the Saints. Mm-hmm. Comes back strong against Detroit and now wants all of those narratives to be gone.
Isn't that
magically amazing
how he just, the revisionist history that he's trying to practice here?
Now, I do agree with, like, nobody knows. And again, just because Aaron Rodgers was active on social media and tweeting about dinners with actors and his girlfriend in Hawaii in the offseason doesn't mean he wasn't getting ready for the season.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what critics he's talking about. He's got a point that there are people with national platforms that say heavy things that they may not have a lot of real knowledge about. And they're just really opinions. But once again, for Aaron Rodgers, and if he came out and said that, okay, that makes sense. Yes, that actually is true. But he engaged those platforms to his own benefit or for what he hoped would be his own benefit. He used the very same mechanisms to create all of this stuff that he's now trying to erase.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that on draft day. Even worse, I'm really astounded that he's leaning this hard into the, I can't believe people were questioning me.
I'm above reproach.
Are you, These people don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, here's more on the attack from Aaron Rodgers on the media from Pat McAfee.
In this day and age of media, it's all about clicks, right, and hits and views, and 1 second counts as a view. So the actually opinions that are garnering the most attention are the most outlandish. So it's not even overreaction Monday or Tuesday anymore. It's overreaction every time a microphone's in your face, every time you have a single shot in the camera and you get to talk to camera, every time you're on a panel. It's who can say the most outlandish things because that's going to give you the most hits. That's the media we live in. That's fine. But at the same time, I still have this show. I have my weekly stuff. I mean, most people, you know, don't use their platform to defend themselves. I don't think I need to defend myself from people who aren't worth spending time on. But I'm always going to give a reminder that listen to the source, you know, of some of these things and be reminded that it's often the same people in the same tired rhetoric.
This is a fascinating topic mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of what Aaron Rodgers is saying is true.
He's absolutely right.
But I'll rewind and I'll ask the question, when has that not been true in the media? There's always been sensational headlines. Before the internet existed, there was boys and kids on the street yelling out headlines that were salacious mm-hmm. in hopes of selling papers.
Well,
so when has that not been the case?
Extra, extra.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, it is a fascinating topic. I do know this, that a lot of it is tied to analytics, which has taken over every industry in America. If you're talking about the media, for the longest time, a newspaper would put together sections and the sports section would feature what editors and people trained in that profession thought was comprehensive coverage of what was going on around you. Only when analytics came and the internet took off could people see, okay, all these stories on the Suns, a lot of people are reading these. These stories over here on this team, nobody cares. Nobody's clicking at all. So the quantifiable became a big part of the discussion. And as a result, I think this is what is been happening.
Yeah. Well, one more on this before I play one more from Aaron Rodgers. What I agree with is, and again, sports media has always been in the overreaction business. It's more pronounced now more mm-hmm. more than ever in its history. And I think and he mentioned it there, and he kind of hinted at something. Hey, I still have this show. I still have my weekly stuff. Athletes and the subjects in the sports world have more power mm-hmm. and more ability to control the message than ever before.
No doubt about it.
So when you take that on one side and then you take this hot take, 2021 mentality of sports media, the divide is so great.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen this before.
But the message that he's controlled was leaking stories.
Well, let's face it. He did a terrible job of controlling his message in the offseason. There's no doubt about it.
This I think was when you guys were on vacation, but he did a 25-minute press conference pretty much the entire time just complaining about the Packers
yes.
and the management
yes.
and the coaching staff and their decisions
yeah.
and feeded into everything that was reported.
Everything.
So I can't believe that he's now saying that the media twisted the story.
This is where he's losing me.
Yeah.
Because this is really the height of hypocrisy, and he knows it.
Exactly.
He knows it.
You can criticize all you want, but you don't then get to use that exact same platform sure. for your own benefit.
Right. That's exactly right.
On yesterday's show, we played some snippets from the CBS Sunday pregame show where everybody around the table went and gave their thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. And I believe it was Bill Cowher who said, I want Aaron Rodgers to, and this was before he had the good game Monday night against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I want Aaron Rodgers to show that he cares. I want Aaron Rodgers to show that he cares more about the team than he does himself. Here he was on the Pat McAfee show on that particular point.
What's crazy to me is to let one storyline, right, by a person who has no contact with me, zero relationship, to that become some sort of, like, narrative that's out there that now I somehow don't care about ball because of my Zen attitude in the off season. That's the bullshit I was talking about last night. And I think that regardless of what happens this season, or how we do moving forward. We have a tough schedule. There's going to be some ups and downs for sure. We're a team that's, you know, finding our identity slowly, as always happens throughout the year. The trolls are out there. I get it. But the truth in fact, should not be replaced by ill-founded conjecture.
Wow.
Everybody's got an opinion, Aaron. Sorry if you don't agree with them.
Wow.
Four touchdown passes, impressive. But he hit for the cycle there.
He did.
His third different type of animal excrement.
Yeah, it was horse, chicken, and bull.
Man.
It was quite impressive, wasn't it?
He is a Renaissance man. All right, coming up next, it was maybe much ado about nothing. The whole Zaven Collins, Jordan Hicks discussion leading up to the season for the Cardinals, because it has certainly played out differently than we thought. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.